But now Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 24, the Bible said there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble foe, yet they make their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them, by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you touch us now and help us while we might preach. I pray that you just give us an unction from the Holy One. Might folk be encouraged, might folk get saved. And Lord, I pray tonight that that sinner's nearest tale would get saved and come to know you as their personal Savior. As we look into the Scripture, I pray that we'd find help. We love you and we thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. As we look in this passage of Scripture, Solomon begins to tell us in that about four things that are little. He begins to talk about the ant. He says that they're little, but yet they're wise. He begins to talk about the ant. He said they make preparation and that for the harvest. You see that nobody has to tell them to go out and do what they need to do. He said they're not strong, but yet they prepare for the harvest. You know, I watched a video of some ants the other day, and that just eat a piece of a banana about that big. And it took them a long time to get that thing carried off and that back to their nest, but they never gave up. They never quit. Can I say tonight that in the service of God, we should never give up and never quit. We should never, and that just lay down the cross, but we should always, and that be faithful and that to God. Then he talks about the conies, and I believe those we'd call the rabbit or the hare tonight. And he said they make their house in the rock. They know how in that to hide from the predator. They know how to hide in that from their adversary, the one that is against them. You know, we're compared to sheep tonight, and friend, we really don't have much to fight with. And just like the rabbit, just like the hare, we don't have much to fight with, but thank God we've got him on our side, but we've made our house, and that in the rock. What was it that the Lord told Moses over there? He said, you can't see me, but he said, I'll take you and I'll set you up in the cliff of the rock. And he said, I'll put my hand over you, and when I pass by, you can see my hinder part and see my glory. I'm glad tonight that I'm set in the cliff of the rock. Thank God for that. I've housed myself by the help of God and by the salvation of God, and that in the rock tonight. I'm glad that Christ Jesus is the rock. I'm not only living on him, but friend, I'm living in him and he's in me tonight. Then he talked about the locusts. They knew what their job was. They didn't have a king, but yet they worked together. Wish to God that churches and that would learn to work together. I mean, we've got one and that goal tonight, and that is to get folks saved. Listen tonight, we need to be about our Father's business and that working for him. But it said that the locusts, they knew their job and they knew how to work together. And they went by bands, but yet with no king. Then talk about the spider who lived in king's palaces. She knew and that how to live good and in the best place, yet she was in that so little. Tonight, can I tell you, living in the best place is wherever God puts you and where he wants you tonight. Listen, that'll be in king's palaces living for him. But I want to look at some things as he talks about right here. He said there'd be four things which are little up on the earth. And I simply want to look at some little things. Just some little things in the Bible. Some that are good, some that are not good. And I think that a lot of times we just overlook little things. We find, first of all, in the Bible, you know, the Lord, he talks about, number one, first of all, little children. He said in the book of Matthew chapter 19, but Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. I believe tonight that the Lord loves children. I really do. Friend, I know he was a man of sorrows. I don't think that our Lord laughed a whole lot. I'm not sure about that. But I really don't, in my mind, I don't think he did, because the Bible said he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But friend, I believe that when them young ones would run up there to him and their parents would bring them and that to be blessed, I believe tonight that put a smile on his face. I can't help but believe that tonight. I'm going to tell you, the Lord used children in the Bible and still uses children and that today. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 9, when the Lord was trying to make a point, He said, "And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and sat by him and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great." So he takes that child and he says, if you'll receive this child, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. And he uses that child to show them that they didn't have to be great. They didn't have to be, how do you put this? They didn't have to be a great stature of their own mind or that in the community. That if you'd receive that child, at another point he talks about coming with the faith of a child. But we look at two instances in Scripture. One is that little lad. In John chapter 6, the Bible tells us in John chapter 6, he's got people following him. They have followed him and they're tired. It's now evening time. It's got to be supper time. And he begins to ask his disciples in verse 4. And he said, "In the Passover, a feast of the Jews was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, which shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Now I want you to understand something. The Lord was concerned about their physical need. Now no doubt he's concerned about their spiritual need. And we understand that. But he was concerned for their physical need. He said, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. How many times has the Lord tried or has proved us? I mean, he knew what was going to happen, but he was just trying to see what we were going to do. And Philip answered him, so that we would know what we were going to do. He knew what we were going to do. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, "There is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many?" And Jesus said, "I make the men sit down." And now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in a number about 5,000. And we understand from the other Gospels, there's 5,000 men. And then there was women and children there. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. Now, not a little bit, but as much as they would. Listen, you remember over here just a few minutes ago, what did he do? He talked to Philip, and he said, "What are we going to do?" And Philip said, "We've got 200 penny worth of bread, but that's not even enough. They can take a little." And he said, they took as much as they would, and when they were filled. So they took as much as they would, and it's just not a little. But now the Bible said they were filled. He said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." And therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. How did all this start? Well, you say, well, it started because the Lord took those 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. No, it started because there was a lad there. It started because there was a little boy, a young man or a young boy there that either his mama packed his lunch or something was going on right there that he was willing and had to take it and give it to the Lord. You know, a lot of times we overlook young people, what they can do for Jesus. A lot of times we overlook young men and young women, what they can do for the Lord, and we just think of them as being little or of no consequence or of nothing. You know, the word little means small in size or not great or large or it's not much. You know, that's what little means. And a lot of times we think what people can contribute and that to the work of Christ or to the work of the church seems so little, but yet it seems so little right here with 5,000 men plus the women and the children. And here comes this little boy, a young man. He comes and he has 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. And what were they? But they were little theirself. And yet the Lord took what he had and he blessed it. And he fed over 5,000 men, women, and children. I tell my church this all the time. Don't hold your children back from serving the Lord. We think sometimes they're little. We think sometimes that what they've got can't accomplish anything for the Lord, but you'd be amazed sometimes of what the Lord can take from a child and even help this preacher sometimes. What he can take from a child, and maybe we're teaching them to sing. You know, I love it when them little ones get up and sing. I love to hear them sing Jesus Loves. I still love that song. I deep and wide, deep and wide. I love it. Jesus Loves the little child. I love all those songs. It's a blessing. I still remember being taught those songs in church. You may not have had the privilege that I had. But listen, I've been going to church 9 months before I was ever brought into this world. Now, I've not always been right with the Lord. I've not always been saved. But friend, I've always been in church. There's something to say about that. Amen. Now, as I preach this morning, it's because of the Lord, because of the cross I got saved, and because somebody at the church pointed me to Christ. And boy, I'm thankful for that. But this little boy, he comes in that to the Lord and presents his 5 loaves and two fishes to the Lord. Let me ask you something, Mom and Dad. Are you giving your children something that they can use for the Lord? Are you training them up in the admonition and the ways of the Lord, the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that they can serve Him? I know there comes a time that they're going to strike out on their own, but friend, it's this time when they're little and they're under your roof and they're living by your rules that you need to instill in them the cause of Christ and listen what they need to be doing for Him. It may seem a little thing, but it'll have great big consequences, and we'll see that here in just a minute. So let me say this, that while we're talking about little things, We find that it was little. What was it? 2 small fishes. 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And even the question was asked. Let me see if I can find it. He says, but what are they among so many? What you have to give to the Lord tonight may not seem like a whole lot. But friend, I'm going to tell you, as a songwriter said, little is much when God is in it. I don't know what you may feel like that you've just got 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes to present to the Lord. Well, why don't you present them to Him and see what He can do with them? There's no telling what the Lord can do with you and with what you've got to give to Him if you just be honest and willing to give to Him tonight. But little ones, can I tell you tonight that you need to teach your children that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive? Notice that He was willing to give up His 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. He was willing to give them up and give them to the Lord, present them to Him. What are we presenting to Him tonight? What are we giving to the Lord? Or what are you holding on to? What are you grasping and holding on to and don't want to give to Him tonight? Maybe it's time. Maybe it's you. You say, well, preacher, I'm doing this and this and this. I don't have time to serve God. I don't, listen, He just wants you. He just wants you tonight. We find about that little lad over there. He had 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. And then in the book of 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, we find about that little maid over there that was in Naaman's house. And in 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman is a leper. And in 2 Kings chapter 5, she makes this statement. Well, let me read. The Bible said, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Now, notice right here, and I'm sure most of you have caught this before, heard it preached on. It tells all about what Naaman is, but the very last thing that he tells us is that he's a leper. If you ask people what Naaman was that knows their Bible, about the first thing they'll always say is Naaman was a leper. But you see what he was? He's captain of the host of the king of Syria, a great man, an honorable man. And God had blessed him. He was a mighty man in valor, but yet he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus the maid said, the maid that is of the land of Israel. Now, if you know the rest of the story, he goes to the king of Israel, and that's where he starts at, and he messed up there. But nonetheless, he finally gets down to the man of God. The Bible said, Elisha sends a preacher boy out there and tells him to go dip 7 times in the River Jordan. He gets a little upset. He said, I thought for sure the man of God would come out here, strike his place over the leper, and I'd be healed. But nonetheless, they finally talk him into going down to the River Jordan, dipping 7 times, and he got healed. Now, why'd that happen? All because there was a little maid all the way back in the land of Shur there that said, if you can get down to the man of God, he can help you. Hey, I tell you, there's some little ones out there, not young people and children that are trying, that are saved, and they have enough care in them and that of God and about God that they're trying to get their friends saved. They're saying, boy, if you can just get down to the man of God, if you can get to where God's at, he'd save you, he'd help you. Listen, she had enough God about her to tell him, hey, listen, if she didn't like Naaman, if she didn't like where she was, and no doubt she wanted to be at home, I have no doubt about that. But listen, she had enough about her to say, won't you just get him down to the man of God? He can help him. Reckon how she knew that. I wondered that about that little maid. Reckon she'd seen Elisha work. Reckon she'd seen Elisha and that do the miracles. Reckon she'd heard what he could do down in the land of Samaria. Reckon what she'd seen. Reckon the stories that she'd been told by her mom and her dad. They had to take her seriously. Do you know what's sad? I mean, this little maid right here, they took her seriously. They didn't say, well, she's just talking. She don't know. They took her seriously. And so he finally gets down to the man of God down there. I would dare say that there was something different about this little maid. I would dare say that her attitude and her deportment was different. It was different than a lot of people. Hey, young people, if you're watching this video tonight, how's your attitude and your deportment? You know what the word deportment means? How you carry yourself, how you act and react, and your characteristics about yourself of your Christianity tonight. If somebody needed some help and you was trying to tell them to get to the Lord, would they even bother to listen to you? Do you have that kind of testimony? Or would you be like Lot over there when he went to go tell his daughters and sons-in-laws that they needed to get our sons-in-laws and daughter-in-laws, that they needed to get out of town, and they just mocked at him, they just laughed at him? This little maid right here, they took her seriously. And it don't even have to be little children and that to be used by the Lord tonight. We may not be great. We may not have a great name of our own mind. As I studied this, I thought about that fellow that come over there and preached against King Jeroboam. You know, Jeroboam was the one that had split the tribes up, and he'd set up idol worship, and he was in the temple of his God over there, and he was worshiping, and the man of God come by and began to prophesy against him. And you know all the Bible, and as a matter of fact, he prophesied about Josiah coming, King Josiah. But you know one thing that the Bible did not tell us about that fella? Didn't tell us his name. It just called him the man of God. His name wasn't on the revival flyer. It wasn't on the flyer. It wasn't on the TV and the radio and all those things. All it told us is that he was a man of God that come and done his part. We may feel like we're little sometime and have just a little work and just a little something that we can offer to the Lord, but if it's just a little, just offer it anyway. There's no telling what the Lord can do with it. Then let me say tonight, number two, and serving the Lord with little. But then he talks about having little possessions. We think a lot of times that we've really made it when we've got a whole lot. You know, the Bible said in the book of 1 Timothy over there, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Preacher, would you be content if that's all you had is food and raiment? You want me to be honest? I probably wouldn't be content. The Scripture tells us to be content, and we should be content, and I'd say that we can learn to be content when we've got Christ. When we look at it from that viewpoint, I'm not going to tell you that would be the happiest days of our life. These people out there, especially knowing what we know now, we've got so used to this world and worldly things that we've got. Everything. But you know, Scripture does tell us, having food and raiment, therewith let us be content. He said in Psalms chapter 37, He said, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. He said, if we just got a little, he said, we're doing good if we're righteous in Christ. Listen, if you're saved tonight, all you got's just a little. That's better than everything that the wicked's got tonight. It's better. You said, well, I like, you know, somebody said one time, I don't have $1 million, but I like to try it out. I'm not sure that I would. Well, I don't want anything that's going to take me away from the Lord. I struggle enough as it is with the things that I've got and everything that's in front of me now. Just what I have now and that drawing me and attracting me away from the Lord. Imagine if we had those things. I believe the Lord gives us what we proved we could handle in that being faithful with it. He said, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Proverbs 15, he said, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. It seems like a lot of times when people, I'm not going to say everybody and every time, but it seems like this sometimes, that the more they get, the more trouble comes with it. The more they get, the more they want. You know, it says at one point, I believe it was, that the rich man, his riches, and that suffering to lose his sleep. Proverbs 16 said, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. He said, you're better off to be right with the Lord and just have a little. Listen, I worked a job one time, and my church knows this story right here. I worked a job one time, and there were some underhanded things going on in that job. And I remember I'd come in and at the job that I had at that time, I was free to come and go and do what I needed to do for this company that I worked for. And I'm telling you, there was just some underhanded things going on. I could have got involved in that. And I was actually presented to get involved with that, and I wanted nothing to do with it. Now, not that I'm tooting my own horn, but listen, friend, I knew better than to do that stuff because at the end of it all, I knew it wasn't going to pay. I knew it wasn't going to pay. It couldn't pay. Listen, the Bible said better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. I'd just rather have what I've got right now and be right with God than to have all money in the world. I'll be honest with you, and lose my righteousness with Him. The Bible talks about what does man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall man give in exchange for his soul? What are you selling out for tonight? Some of you tonight, if you're watching this, your mind's focused on money and where we can get the next dollar and all of these things. Gotta have. And you say, well, preacher, you're living pretty well. I you know, for some people, I probably am living pretty well off. For some people. Especially in, you know, we live in the top percentile. If you live in America and got a job, man, you're living in the top percentile of the world tonight. And let me park right here and say this while we're talking about having a job and working. You know, the ants and the locusts and all of them. Listen, and I know we're on that COVID-19, and I know some of you are laid off, and you can't help that. I'm not talking about that right now. Okay, I'm not talking to you. Because you're going to go back to work and you're going to be happy to have a job. I assume you're going to be happy to have a job and all those things. But listen, now, it's not our government's responsibility to take care of us. It's not. It's not their responsibility. Listen, man's made to work. You're not made to set it to house. Listen, and let the government keep you up. I'm not made to set it to house and for the government to keep me. I'm not even made to set it to house and for my church to keep me up. I pastor full time. Listen, I'm to be out about his business. I still do some electrical. I work on the side. I still try to work. Why? We're made to work. He wants us to work. I don't know how we got there, but ain't good. Amen. We put too much stock in worldly possessions. We put too much stock in things. And again, I'll say this, I've said it for years, I believe this, that, listen, it's okay to have things as long as things and possessions don't have you. And let me say this, too, while I'm at it. Just if you have little possessions tonight, don't make you right with the Lord. It's in your heart tonight. But sometimes it's those big things that draw us away from Him. And want just some little things, little possessions. I don't want you to think I'm against you having stuff. I ain't against you having stuff. I'm just against stuff having you tonight. And I'm afraid that's what happens to a lot of people. Stuff gets them. And they hold on to it. And instead of giving it up and giving it to the Lord and letting Him take it and use it, they want to use it to their wants. Number three, Bible talks about little things. Talks about little children. Talks about having little possessions. But then it talks about little faith. In Matthew chapter 6, the Lord is in the Sermon on the Mount, and He's just getting finished up over here after He tells us that no man can serve two masters, for either love the one, hate the other, or else he'll hold the one and cleave, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and the money of this world. That's what He's talking about. Exactly what He's talking about right there. And then He went on to say in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, or what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not you much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles see. For your heavenly Father knoweth what things you have need of all these things. Knoweth that you have need of all these things. But see, here's the key. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the evil, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So what did He tell them up here? He said, if you're worried about all these things, He said, if you're worried about what you're going to eat, if you're going to worry about and that what you're going to drink and what you're going to wear, He said, does the Heavenly Father not take care of the flowers? Does He not take care of the birds? Does He not handle them? And I'm going to be honest with you, friend. I have that kind of faith to where we just lean on Him and look to Him all the time and not worry and wring our hands and have care and concern. I'm going to tell you, that's the kind of faith I want. It's the kind of faith I need. But sometimes I struggle to have that faith. I'm the feller that needs that kind of faith, that we struggle. I'd be the one that He's talking right here to a lot of times. Oh, ye of little faith. He said, and take no thought. What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? He told us over here to seek, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, David said over in Psalms, was it 37? He said, I've been young, now I'm old, yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seen begging bread. God will always take care of us. I don't know how He always takes care of things, but He always has. I don't, you know, a lot of times when things get messed up, it ain't Him that messed it up. It was us that messed it up. But He always takes care of us. I wish that, and you know, there's some days that I have that faith. Lord, I'm just looking to You and depending on You, and I go on and I don't worry about it. I just put it in His hands and let Him handle that. Listen, if you go over to Matthew chapter 8, listen, just a chapter later, two chapters over, verse 23, you'll find His disciples. I believe it was, is it Matthew 8? Listen, He's in the midst of a storm. And the Bible said, when He's entered into the ship, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, and so much that the ship was covered with waves, but He was asleep. As disciples came to Him and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And He said unto them, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? How many times have we got into the middle of the storm, listen, and our faith wanes and it gives out, even though we know the Lord's on board, and listen, they could see Him, they could touch Him, they could go over and wake Him up, but yet they were concerned about, they said, Lord, don't you see that this thing's killing us? We're going to perish because of it. They had little faith, didn't they? He woke up, he looked at what was going on, but he looked at them and he said, "Why are you so fearful?" Oh, you have little faith. I'm going to tell you, when our faith lacks and doubt slips in, then fear grasps us and holds on to us and fear it can ruin us if we'll let it. And so the Lord arose, the Bible said, and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the first thing he did was look at him and said, "Oh, you have little faith. How's your faith tonight? What are you facing?" You may be facing a storm tonight. It's easy for me to stand here and preach. I've always said that things is easy preaching, but hard practicing sometimes. Sometimes it's hard to have that faith. To where we know the Lord's on board and we're just going to ride it out. We know He's on board with us and it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. I know it's took care of. He'll see us through. I watch people sometimes and I look at them and they've got great faith. And I always think, if I ain't careful, I'll think to myself, I know they're in the middle of a storm and they're saying, but I know God will see me through. He'll get me through it. And I'm thinking to myself, how do you know that? Oh, me of little faith sometimes. When we trust in Him. You say, "Preacher, you like faith?" I like faith sometimes. I know who saved me. I know who's keeping me. But boy, I tell you, my flesh gets riled up sometimes. And I get like these disciples that seen Him do miracles and seen what He could do. You know, I've seen Him. I preached this morning. Part of my message was on had it not been for the conflicts that we've had, we'd have never get to see God move. If everything was cheery and rosy all the time, we'd really never get to see God work and God move. You'd think out of all the years that I've watched Him move, and I've seen Him move for me and my family and my church and for folk outside of this, I've seen Him move. I know He's real. I know He works. He's answered my prayers many times. But every now and again, my faith wanes and gets weak. We get in a storm. We get a need, and we wonder if God's going to supply. And He looks at us and say, "Oh, you have little faith." We ought to be the people that He looks at and say, "I've never found so great a faith." Is that not what He said about that Shunammite woman over there, I believe it was, that come to Him and said, "Can you come and heal my daughter?" And He said, I'm not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And I mean, basically called her a dog. And she said, "But even the dogs get to eat at the table, the master's table, eats the crumbs of it." And He said, "I've not found so great a faith in all Israel." That centurion come over and said, "If you'll just speak the word, my servant will be healed." He said, "I've not found so great a faith." Notice it was Gentiles that He spoke that about in that day. How many of us that the Lord would look at us and say, "They've got great faith. Not little faith, but great faith." If we ain't careful, sometimes the Lord may say, "You have no faith." But little faith. The Bible talks about little faith. How's your faith tonight? Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We get into the book and we begin to study. We begin to look. We begin to see what God can do and has done and will do. And we watch Him work and we see and listen. Our faith will get strengthened tonight. The Bible said in Luke 1, "For nothing, for with God nothing shall be impossible." Then the Bible talks about some little sins and some little evils. Some things we don't think much about that begins to draw us away from the Lord, that begins to cause us some problems in our spiritual lives. The Bible talks about in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, "Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. And so doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor." You know, that apothecary over there was the man that mixed up, and he was not only the druggist, but he also mixed up the perfume and the smelling good stuff. And he says that the dead flies in the ointment causes the stuff that the apothecary had mixed up causes it to stink. And he said that those flies are just a little thing, but yet it causes a stink. And he says right here, just a little folly to him that is in reputation of having wisdom and honor. In other words, somebody that should have enough wisdom to know better than to do something. They know what's going to happen. but yet they do it anyway. Same thing. It's just a little thing, but yet it causes stink. It causes the problem. Even though you're no better than that, he said, for he that's in reputation of wisdom and honor. Song of Solomon chapter 2 said, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. He said, it's those little foxes. They come in and they get at the little grapes, or at the grapes, and the little foxes do that. I guess there could be little grapes too. It's those little things. The Bible talks about 1 Corinthians chapter 5. He said, know you not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? As he's told about sin, he said, you take a little leaven and you put it in the lump of dough, and as it begins to rise, he said, you mix it up, and even though it's just a little, it's still going to do its work. He talks about little sin, little evils, little things that we let in a little at a time, where we get lax on things. I've been working on a message. You know, God is a God of absolutes, and we need to be a people of absolutes. We should have some absolutes. I mean, convictions that we're going to have, that we're going to live by no matter what. No matter what's going on in our family. I know a preacher, and I would call him my friend. He's an acquaintance of mine, but we talk, and he was having trouble in his home with his boys. And I'm not exactly sure what all was going on, but I know this, that he took his family in, he set them down in the living room, and he told me, he said, look, I was traveling with God before you come along, and I'm still traveling with God. Sometimes we just let some little things go. It's not that big of a deal, preacher. It really don't matter what you read. Really don't matter what you listen to or what you watch. Who you're friends with, really don't matter. That's just a little thing. It does matter, by the way, and it's more than just a little thing, but we think it's a little. I've watched young people and old people alike just slip away from God a little at a time because of little things. Just little things. I've watched young people and that get away from God. They were in church, and it's just been little things. It's got them away just a little at a time. Look like the world, sound like the world, smell like the world. I have no desire for that. Preacher, you better than them? I ain't better than them. I can be right out there with them. And sometimes still trying to play church at the same time. Don't work that way. You can't ride the fence, friend. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve your flesh and serve the God of this world. You can't serve that. Well, I ain't serving the devil. If you ain't, think it's just a little. See, now some of you are gonna think I'm Pharisaical and legalistic. Some of you already think that. It don't matter. God don't care. He just, you know, what's in my heart. What's in my heart? I'm going to deal with your heart in just a second. I'm about done. Don't turn me off. Please don't turn me off. Seems like when we get to these spots right here, people won't turn you off. What you say, what you read, what you see, how you dress. People can't see your heart. They can see what's on the outside of you. God knows your heart, but people don't. You say, well, all that matters is what's in my heart. People can't see it. They see the actions and the reactions of what's in your heart. Little things turn into big things. You start taking just a little bit and a little bit and a little bit and a little bit and you pile it up and it becomes big. Number five, last of all, our tongue is just a little member. James chapter 3, we're going to close with this. Boy, it's getting exciting, ain't it? James chapter 3, talking about little things. Little things. We think those little things just don't matter, but they do. James chapter 3, he talks about our tongue. And he says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. He said, if you can bridle your mouth, you can bridle your whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small hand, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Now notice what he ties together right there. He talks about the bit that's in the horse's mouth that guides and ram. He talks about the ship that has the helm back there, the rudder that turns and forces the ship to go where it needs to be. Then he talks about, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Just a little fire can turn into a raging fire in just a minute or two. And that's what he's comparing our tongue to. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and birds and serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries in your vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? The tongue. Somebody said, you know, the Lord put it behind two things. He put it behind a bar of teeth and a set of lips, so that we can keep it closed up. You know, we have to guard our words, you know. It is with the tongue that we can bless God. It's with the tongue that we can help our neighbor and give good words and give words of encouragement and give words of instruction and of wisdom. It's also with the tongue that we lie. It's with the tongue that we gossip or that we curse God. It's with the tongue that we backbite and sow discord. And, you know, the Bible talks about in Proverbs chapter 6 over there, how when it talks about these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven abominations, the very last thing is he that soweth discord among the brethren. And we do that with our mouth. The tongue's just a little thing, but yet it does a great big work, don't it? You know, our tongue tells us what's in our heart. I told you I was going to deal with the heart here in just a minute. Matthew chapter 12, and while you're looking and I'm looking for it too, you know, the Bible said that a soft answer turns away wrath. How to use your tongue. Matthew 12, 34. Let me see if we can find it here. Matthew 12, 34, he said over here, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Is that what the Lord asked over here? He said, how can that bitter fountain send out sweet water, and or vice versa, sweet, you know, how can it send out sweet water and bitter water at the same time? He said, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What comes out of here tells us what's in here. Our tongue tells on us. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's scary to think. We're going to give an account of every idle word that we've ever said? I believe it. Well, it'd make us talk less, though, if we really believed it and put it into action with it. You know, we're to keep our tongue. The Bible said, for he that will love life and see days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, and let him seek peace and ensue it. He said, we just need to keep our mouth. Let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. He talks about in the book of Ephesians, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He said, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What did he say? He said, put away all that wrath and anger, clamor and evil speaking. He said, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Proverbs 13, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Proverbs 21, 23, whoso keepeth his mouth and keepeth his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. It's a little thing, but boy, it causes a big problem. we need to keep our tongue. We need to be careful what we say, who we say it to, how we say it. Just some little things. Little things in the Bible. We may think that it's just a little work, but God can do great things, even with little children. We may think that it's just a little work, but God can use it. How's our faith tonight? How's our faith? Is our little foxes getting us tonight? Little evils that's getting us? Or is this tongue, which is just a little thing, but yet it kindles a great big fire? Just some little things in the Bible. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll take this message and use it. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, as we see some little things, there are some little things that you use and some little things you don't want us to use because they turn into great big things. Lord, I pray tonight if there's somebody been listening tonight that's lost, I pray they might get saved and come to know you as their personal Savior. Help us in that to serve you. We thank you for all you've done, for your blessings. For this in Jesus' name we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen.